And I said, up to now, you've preached sermons that were written for you. This time you're on your own. So he's prepared a message for us, and we just kind of want to make this a grand send-off. Like I said, of our three graduates, two belong to our church, and both are going off to prepare for ministry. And we're excited about that. Kyle, come up here. We want to pray over you today, and representatives of our church, that God will go with you in this mission that you are on.
Lord God, we are grateful today for Kyle and the years we've had together. We look forward to many more, but it's going to be different. He won't be a kid around our church anymore. He's going to be a young man preparing for ministry. Would you bless him today as he speaks? Would you bless him as he goes back to the south, to Tennessee, to study for the ministry? Would you guide him and protect him and direct him? And just thank you so much that you're raising up a new generation of leaders and preachers and gospel ministers. And may his place be exactly where you put him, and may his ministry be according to your direction and will. May it be powerful for the kingdom of God, starting today, right here, as it has been in the past and on into the future. We pray in your name. Amen. Kyle, the time is yours. I have to tell you, he managed to actually follow my good mentoring and go overtime for service. So get ready for a good sermon.
But he didn't take as much time as I have, so.
Yeah, I've had some good training throughout the years. Well, good morning. I'm really happy to be here this morning. How about you? You all having a good Sabbath so far? All right, well, it's kind of a sad and exciting moment at the same time. This is my last Sabbath here for a while, at least. I'm sure I'm going to come home and visit sometimes, but you know, I'm going to Chattanooga, Tennessee, Collegedale, Southern Adventist University. There I will receive all my training and equipment to become an official minister of the gospel, and I'm very happy how God has directed my paths. I have to thank you guys, because without an amazing church family like this one, I would not be the person I am today. You guys have supported me, and it is because of you that I've come this far, so thank you guys. And let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, I thank you so much for all my time here at this church and at this school. I thank you for all the blessings that you've given us. And Lord, I see now that looking back, you directed my paths all the way, and I'm so grateful for that. I can tell that I am exactly where you would have wanted me to be. Lord, I just pray that as we go throughout this worship service, you help these people to receive a blessing as much as I have from these words. Lord, thank you for bringing each and every one of these people here this morning. Thank you for the gift of the Sabbath. Thank you that we can all be here today. Bless us and open our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So, how about it? I'm leaving home in 5 days. See, a lot of kids would be excited. I'm not excited. In a way, I'm excited, but I'm not, like, looking forward to it. I'm definitely a little scared, but I'm really... there's no words for it. I'm excited, but I'm not, and I don't know. So, I'm going on a new adventure. What do I do? And you know, I just graduated from high school. I still have my youth a little bit. It's fading, but I still have it. And so, you know, I decided that I'm going to prepare for life, right? And so I thought I would sit back and think about my life in general. You know, where I'm going, what I stand for, what do I want to do. All those great things that we all need to be thinking about but often neglect. And so I want you guys to sit back this morning. Think about your lives with me. Think about all that you do. Think about all that you have. Think about how much time you spend doing certain things. Think about your life. And we're going to go over some of the who, what, when, where, whys, and hows of life this morning. I've been saying, if you don't know what you stand for, then there is no reason to stand for anything. Wouldn't you agree? If you don't know what you want out of life, then what is the point of wanting anything? And so I hope we can leave here this morning knowing where we're going, knowing what we want, knowing where we want to end up. And so think with me. Who do I want to be? What kind of person do you want to be? When people look at you, what do you want them to see? What characteristics do you want to define you as a person? I looked at this question thinking, who do I want to be? I'll tell you, I want to be a truly, genuine, loving man. I want to be a godly man. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If you are a loving man, you are a godly man. And so I was thinking about this. I want to be someone that, you know, little kids can look up to and adults can respect and admire. I want to be full of love. I want to be someone that people can find comfort in, that people can look to for knowledge and wisdom. I want to be a person that when I enter the room, people get a certain feeling because I am taking a piece of God with me. A loving man. I know I'm getting personal with you this morning, but I want to give you guys examples. I want you guys to know where I'm going, and with it, I want you guys to figure out where you're going. I would recommend that you take down these questions, think about them, pray about them, write them down, keep them in a safe place that you can go look at, because like I said, if you don't know what you stand for, then you really don't stand for anything. And it doesn't matter how old you are. That's another point I wanted to make. I don't care if you're my age. I don't care if you're younger than me. I don't care if you're three times as old as me. All of this applies to you. We are all on this little journey of life. And we all need to know where we're going, what to do along the way, and how to get there. Secondly, what do I want from this one life? We do only have this one life here on earth, and we have to think, what do we want out of it? What do we want to do with it? I don't care what religion you are, this is a gift. You are living right now, and it is a gift. Another question you could put here is, what do you want to define your life? I have some friends that are in the same situation as me, trying to figure out where their life's headed, where they're going. And if they ask me for advice, I tell them only two simple things. I say, number one, don't waste your life. You've been given this one life, and like I said, it is a gift. You can use it to do amazing things, or you can keep blowing it off until you eventually wasted all your time. And that's not what we were here for. And number two, don't be selfish. You will never find fulfillment by being selfish. Do you agree? Are you with me this morning? It is impossible to find fulfillment through selfishness. Fulfillment comes by being selfless, by reaching out and helping those that need us. Fulfillment comes through love. That is the one thing I said I wanted when I looked at this question. What do I want from this life? I want fulfillment. And it's kind of a tricky word because everyone has their own definition for fulfillment. But to me, fulfillment is being content with what we have. Some of us have more than others, some of us have less than others, and you'll find that the rich men are just as sad as the poor men, and sometimes the poor men are way more happier than the rich men. And it doesn't matter what we have, it's all about being content. And so fulfillment is being content with what we have, staying strong, enduring the troubles that life throws at you, and it is staying at one with your Creator. And if you're at one with your Creator, you will naturally be selfless, which means you will naturally have love, which means that you will find fulfillment. I want to inspire people to look beyond themselves. I want to change people's lives without ever saying a word. You've heard the phrase, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. I like that, because sometimes I talk way too much. And sometimes I just need to be quiet and try to show people with my actions. Words are great, but when it comes down to it, it's the actions that people see. And I want to change people's lives without ever saying a word. And you know what I want? You know what I want more than anything else in this world? I want to walk through the gates of heaven. I want to look my Creator and my Savior in the eye. And I want to hear the words, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That to me would mean more than anything else on this world, to hear those few simple words coming out of the mouth of the man who created me. To know that I put a little bit of joy into the heart of my Creator sometime throughout all my betrayal and throughout all of my rejection and my rebelliousness. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Are you listening this morning? Are you coming up with your own answers this morning? Who do you want to be? What do you want from this one life? Let me ask you, who's in charge of your life? Who's in charge of your life this morning? A lot of you say God, you know. And that's good. I would recommend that's where it be. But will God take charge without you letting Him? Do we have free will this morning? Yes, we do. So ultimately, who is in charge of your life? Are you with me this morning? You are in charge of your life. I'm in charge of my life. And so often we hear people talk about how horrible their life is, how miserable they are. Whose fault is that? I'll let you think about that one. Now, I would definitely recommend giving your life to God. I've noticed myself that it's worked out much, much better that way. And so that leads me to think, what does God want from me? There's another question we could put there. What does God want from me? My mom introduced me to this book a little while ago by Chuck Swindoll. It's called So You Want to Be Like Christ. And I have a couple quotes I want to share with you this morning. It says, "But the hardest thing in the world, it seems, is for God to have our full attention so that intimacy with Him glows from within and can be seen by others as a passion that is authentic." Notice this, He wants no mere show of religion, but a passionate spirituality where God still does miraculous things through His people, often in spite of us, where God reveals His ways in ways that are full of mystery and surprise and wonder. A humble spirituality that leaves us, the clay, soft and malleable in the hands of the potter, our sovereign God. Aren't those beautiful words? But we cannot be soft and malleable unless we've let go. It is so hard for us to let go, isn't it? And those of you who have worked with me, you know what I'm talking about. I'm what they like to call a control freak. I like to, you know, I like to be in charge. I like to, it's secure. It's good to know that I'm in charge, you know. Student council president. They can't, you know, I can tell them what to do now. You know, I'm in control. It's really hard to let go. And now I'm on this new journey. I'm going to Tennessee. I'm going to a place that I've never been, where I don't know anybody, and I have no control. I'm freaking out. But you know what, it's an exciting feeling, and you know, it hurts my stomach every time I think about it, but I know I'm not in charge because I've let go. And yeah, it's very scary, but I know I'm going where I'm supposed to be going. I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And we're going to move on with these questions. Where do I want to end up? When it's all said and done, where do you want to be? It's a pretty simple question. When you're on your deathbed looking at your life, what do you want to have? What do you want surrounding you? I'll leave you to think about that one. And now we have why. I would argue that this is the most important question out of them all. Why do I want to be the person I want to be? Why do I want the things that I want? Why do I want to end up where I want to end up? Why do I do the things that I do? You ever think about that? Why do you do the things that I do? I hope this is getting to your heart this morning, not just your ears. Why do you do the things that you do? A while back at this church during a Vespers, I said the words, "It's not what you do or how much you do, but why you do it that counts." Some of you were there when I first said it. And I was shocked because at the time, I was overloaded with things to do and things to worry about, and I just had it, and I probably didn't even know why I was doing it. And it was like God spoke directly to me with those words. And he said, I don't care how much you do as long as you know why. And so I ask you this morning, why do you do the things that you do? I got way ahead of myself here, didn't I? Anyways, I've never forgotten those words, and I've tried to live by them ever since. Those definitely left a mark in my mind. Because you can do anything in the world, and it will all be in vain if you do not know the simple reason why. Did you ever think about that? Would it be fair for me to ask you why you're here this morning? Why are you in church? Why do you keep the Sabbath? Why do you keep God's laws? Do you know why? Because if you don't, it means nothing to God. If you obey God without knowing why, it means nothing to Him. Because it means nothing to you. You're keeping laws and you don't know why. And some of them might be really good laws, like don't murder. Okay, you're not murdering. Good, I'm glad. But the small things, you know, you don't adorn yourself for something, but why? Do you know why you don't do it? Do you know why? Do you know why you're here this morning? It's a little something to think about because it's not running through our minds all the time. And I look at this question, why do I do the things that I do? Why do I want the things that I want? And I answered, I want these things because I believe in a God of love. Do you believe in a God of love this morning? Let me hear you say amen to that one more time. We believe in a God of great love. And personally, I love love. I do. I love the feeling of love. I love everything about love. As you can tell from the last questions, I mean, I want love to define my life. I believe that's what we were created for. I believe that's why we're still here today. And I believe that's what we're going to enjoy for eternity, is love. I want people to see in me a glimpse of Christ Himself because of the love that I let flow through me. Notice how I said the love I let flow through me, because we have a really hard time generating our own love, don't we? We don't really even know what love is. But when God sends that surge through you out to somebody else, or He sends it through somebody else to you, you get that feeling and you know what life is all about for that split second. The feeling of love is an incredible one. I want God to live in me, and the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, that whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. If God is living in you, don't you think you're going to be living like a perfect life? Does that make sense? So, if we're living a perfect, or if we want God inside of us, all we have to do is live in love, and we have to know what love is. We'll get to that in a minute, but let's go to the next question. We have the how. How are we going to get these things? How are we going to be the people we want to be? How are we going to get where we're going? Don't we love to think about that one? I have good news for you this morning. You can throw this one out entirely. Just scratch it off your list. You do not have to worry about the how. It's time for letting go. God is in charge of the how. All you have to do is pick a destination, set your face, and walk. And you know what? When the world gets rough around you and everything starts caving in and you get these problems, stop walking and run. You see, if you pick a destination and believe in it, then God will direct your paths. It says so in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. He will direct your paths. We don't have to worry about the how. So often we pick our destination and, you know, it's a great one and we try to plan our path and how to get there. And we think of where we're going to go, what we're going to do next. And we end up forgetting about our destination. You can pick the most beautiful destination in the world, but if you're so caught up in how to get there, you're never going to get there. The how belongs to God. We humans are so good about worrying about the how. How many of you worry? That'd be me. The human race has perfected the art of worrying. In our jobs, I would say we spend about 80% of our time worrying and maybe 20% working. I don't know. Probably not. But You realize how much time is consumed just by worrying. I have good news this morning. Did you know that the Christian should never, I repeat, never have to worry about a single thing in his or her life? Do you agree this morning? The Christian should never have to worry about a thing in his or her life. And what do? We sit back in church and we worry. We worry if the roof's going to stay up. We worry about this and that. Are we going to have a school? All we do is worry. But we don't have to worry because we have a God big enough and He takes care of it for us. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, God in the flesh. He says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of its own. God Himself agrees that each day has enough troubles of its own. It's not that the Christian shouldn't worry, it's that we don't have to worry. Those few words right there got me through high school. Those few words right there got me to graduation. And I would recommend that you learn that verse right there, because every time you think about worrying, let that pop into your head. How big is your God this morning? How powerful is your God this morning? Do we not believe in a God that can provide for us an eternal life? Do we? So if God can provide for us an eternal life, do you think for a second that He can provide food and clothes and everything you need here on earth? I would say so. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says, and we know that all things, how many things? Work together for what? For good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. I definitely noticed something new about this verse when I looked at it last time. You see, I always remembered it, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. But look at it. What I did was I took out that comma, I put an and then I deleted this the. And then I was reading this verse again, and I was like, the called. Who is the called? You know, I always thought, you know, it's kind of talking about two different groups of people, those who love God and those who are called. But no, there's an important message in this verse that I overlooked every time I looked at it until just recently. Notice what it's saying here. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called. It's not talking about two different groups of people here, but rather one. You see, those who love God are those who are called, who are the called. The called are those who love Him. And if you love Him, you are called. You see, God has plans for each and every one of our lives. Pastor Greg said, you know, being a pastor, being a minister, it's not a job, it's a calling. And I agree. But you know what? I think doctors and dentists and whatever you do, it should be a calling. If your job is a job, you're probably not in the right place. God calls each and every one of us to do different things. And if you love Him, you are the called. You are those who work according to His purpose. Whose purpose? Your own? No, we do not work towards our purpose, but towards God's purpose. This definitely amazed me last time I looked at it. I didn't know how I overlooked. But our class scripture for graduation was Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Does God have plans for your life this morning? Are you too old to get back on track with God's plans? Are you too young to know what God's plans are? No. So how do we know God's plans for us? Trust me. That is the difficult part. That is the frustration of life. I spent senior year wondering, where am I going to go after this year? I don't know. And I had too much to worry about, and it all just came in. And I was worrying, and we should not worry. God said so Himself. And so I was thinking, how do I know God's plans for my life? And I'll get to how I ended up knowing God's plans for my life. But I want to take you to another quote by Chuck Swindoll from that book my mom introduced me to. It says, "Distance from God is a frightening thing. God will never adjust his agenda to fit ours. He will not speed his pace to catch up with ours. We need to slow our pace in order to recover our walk with him. God will not scream over noisy clamor. He expects us to seek quietness, where his still, small voice can be heard again. God will not work within the framework of our complicated schedules. We must adapt to his style. We need to conform to his way if our lives are to be characterized by the all-encompassing word, godliness." So who are you living your life for this morning? Think about it really hard, because we all have that automatic answer. But in your heart, who are you living your life for this morning? God promises us that if we love him, then we live according to his purpose, not our own. And then everything will work out for what? For good. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? That's an amazing promise, isn't it? It is true. We do not have to worry, because God tells us that if we love him, then we work according to his purpose, and then everything, all things, will be good. I want you to catch something here. Just because we don't have to worry, does that mean we're not accountable for our actions? Don't think for one second God doesn't want you to be responsible. A lot of Christians nowadays, they sit back and they don't work, they don't do much of anything, and they gloat about their faith. "I'm letting God take care of it. I trust God." If you ask me, that's laziness. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 24, "Diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in slave labor." So does God want us to be lazy? No. Clearly, God does not want us to be lazy. Come on, Adventists, what does the Bible say? Turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 to 10. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God." That's a wonderful verse, isn't it? In it we can find the promise of the Sabbath, the hope of the Sabbath. We can find the gift of rest. But what does it say? Let's not get distracted here. What does it say in the beginning? 6 days you shall do what? Rest? Be lazy? 6 days you shall labor. God wants us to be responsible. God wants us to work for what we have. He wants leaders in this world of followers. Make sure you catch that, because that's so popular in this world to just tag along. But God wants us, you and me, to be leaders in this world of followers. Does he want us to worry? By no means. We don't have to worry, because we have a God that has already taken care of the details. He has already promised us that if we love him, then we work according to his purpose. And then all things, even the bad things, even the miserable things, even the terrible things, will work together for good. You know, my dad, bless his heart, one of the greatest men I know. From the day I was born, he told me, "I don't care if I'm the richest man in the world, I will never buy you a car." Some of you are probably a little thrown off by that statement. Does my dad not love me? Is that it? I mean, does he not want me to drive? I'm a pretty safe driver. No, my dad wants me to learn to be responsible. He wants me to learn how to manage my money on my own without having to rely on his bank account. And I'm not criticizing those of you who buy your kids cars. I would have loved one. But all parents have those things where they let their kids go, where they let their kids do it on their own. And if they didn't, then we'd all live at home for all of our lives, and pretty soon the human race would just die out. But why am I talking about worry this morning? In 5 days. 5 days. I can count them on my fingers now. That's sick. In 5 days, I am leaving home. I'm getting on a plane. I'm going to a place where I have never been and where I don't know anybody. Logically speaking, I'm an idiot. I am. Who does that? Who goes to a place where they've never been, where they don't know anybody to live? It's not like I'm going there to visit. I'm going to take classes, and I don't even know that much about it. I've researched it online and called a few people. That's about it. And I mean, why do I want to leave? It's not like I have a bad life here. My family treats me extremely well. My friends, they're amazing. And I mean, look, who would want to leave these beautiful people right here? Why am I leaving? I'll tell you why. Because I'm going where God wants me to be. Why am I not worried sick about putting myself out there and going to a new place? Why am I not trembling right now with fear of the unknown? Because I'm working for His purpose. And He has promised me that if I do that, all things will work out for good. I'll tell you a story of why I know I'm going where I'm supposed to be going. About a month before school got out, this past year, you know, I was a senior, I'm graduating in a month, it's like, you know, you're excited, but then I realized I really need to get working on this college stuff, because pretty soon, you know, registration deadline's up, and what are you going to do next? You can't get a dorm. And so I started thinking, and, you know, one day, I'd done my research, and I want you to understand that I applied to about every college in the nation, because we got to go to a college fair, and so filled out all my information for all the colleges. And finally, one day, I just snapped. I said, God, you know, I'm going to go work for You for the rest of my life. I need You to send me to the place where I personally will be best equipped to spread Your love throughout the world. Whatever door You open first, that is where I'll go. And so the next day after I said that prayer, I get this big packet from Southern with my acceptance letter and everything I need to go. And so, you know, it was not my first choice, I'll be honest. It's definitely going to be a change of scenery. But, you know, I said, okay, God, I'll take this as a sign, but I need to know You're in charge here. So I don't want to get another acceptance letter from anywhere else. Guess what? Still haven't gotten that acceptance letter from anywhere else. As much as I may have wanted it sometimes, reading through the rule books of Southern, it still hasn't come. And so, I feel like I'm going where God wants me to be. I believe very strongly I'm going where God wants me to be, and I believe very strongly that if I go where God wants me to be, then everything, all things, will work out for good. That all things will be amazing. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I could, but I don't have to. I have a God who's big enough, who's already taking care of the details. My God tells me that if I trust in Him and stop leaning on my own understanding, that He will take care of the path in front of me, and He will direct me, and He will lead me in the right direction. Even if it doesn't always seem right, who knows best? God? The God of the universe? Or me? You ever think about that when you're trying to question God's authority? Who might know better? God or you? And I'll tell you another reason why I'm okay with leaving. Because I realize that the sacrifice I'm making is nothing. It is nothing. I knew a man a while back, he left home. He didn't have to leave. In fact, he shouldn't have left. He had everything he could ever want, everything he could ever need. He didn't have to leave. A few of his best friends were suffering, and this man decided to give up everything he had for those people. He left his comfort zone. He left his father, who he had spent every second with. He left all the adoration of the angels, and he came down here to become one of us. And for what? He left his home to be killed by us. Why? Because he was motivated. Because he was motivated by his own character. Motivated by love. I ask you, what motivates you this morning? Why do you get up every day and go to work? Why do you get up on Sabbath and come to church? What motivates you? Jesus never, ever had to leave his home. Jesus shouldn't have left his home. He never had to leave the side of his Father. He never had to leave the perfection and the glory and the power of heaven. But he looked and saw your face and saw no other way. He looked and decided to give it all up. Can you believe that? The one man who had it all gave it all up for love. What does that tell you about the most powerful thing in the universe this morning? He decided to feel pain for probably the first time in his eternal life. He left everything, so that you could be with him. How many kings have stepped down from their thrones for you? How many fathers have given up their sons for you? Yeah, I'm leaving a great place. I'm leaving a lot of great people. But you know what? It is nothing compared to what Jesus did for me. You see, when Jesus left home, he went a lot farther than Tennessee. He left a beautiful, perfect place to come to this corrupted, polluted planet. And for what? He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for love. When Jesus left home, he was leaving his Father. Now, I can't come up with the proper words to describe how much I love my parents, but I can tell you it is not even a whisper of what Jesus felt for his Father. These past 2 years I spent at Glenview. My family lives in Anthem. We drove down here 6 days a week, me and my mom. She worked right down the street. And that's quite a long drive. That's quite a bit of days to drive down here. So you can imagine all the bonding time that we got to spend together. I can't think of anyone that I am closer with than my mother. But you know what? I mean, it is going to be hard to leave. It's going to be terribly hard. I'm going to miss spending every single day with her. But I look at the sacrifice of Jesus and I realize it is nothing. It is so small in comparison for what Jesus did for me. Just try to imagine for a second the pain that Jesus and God the Father had to feel when he departed that morning. Try to imagine the heartbreak that they must have felt. They had spent an eternity together. John chapter 1 verse 2 tells us that he was with God in the beginning. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." The two were one. They'd spent an eternity together, and all of a sudden they were getting broken apart. Jesus left the side of his Father. And his Father wasn't one of those mean fathers that you want to run away from. His Father was perfect. And he left him. And he did it for you. He saw your face and knew that there was absolutely no other way. He saw your face and decided that he didn't want to spend an eternity without you there. What does that say for our God this morning? I am not worth it. I guarantee you that. If I was there, I would have said, "Jesus, I am not worth it. Don't do it." But you know what? He saw inside my heart. And I would think that that would make him not want to do it even more. But he saw inside my heart and he decided to give it all up. He decided to leave the side of his Father, to leave his comfort zone. And he did it for you. He did it for love. So that leads me to ask, why do you do what you do? What motivates you this morning? When Jesus left home, he knew why. He had a purpose, and his driving force was love. He saw your face and knew there was no other way. So that leads me to ask, why do you do what you do? What is your motivation? I don't care what it is you do. I don't care how much time you spend doing it, and I don't care how hard it is. Why do you do it? Your everyday lives. Why do you do what you do? If you don't know why you are doing it, then it is all in vain. It is all meaningless. So spend some time today and think about why you do what you do. You know, it is only through sacrifice that we are able to see true, genuine, selfless love. Jesus sacrificed it all. He gave it all up so that you could know that your God loves you. And that leads me to think, what am I sacrificing for Jesus so that he can know I love him? What are you sacrificing for Jesus so that he knows that you love him? If it is only through sacrifice that we see true, perfect love, what are you sacrificing for those that you say you love? You go home and you look at your wife and you tell her you love her. You go home and you look at your kids and you tell them you love them. You spend a night with your friends and you tell them you love them. But what are you doing so that they can see it? Words are a great thing. But when it comes down to it, what are you doing so that they can see it with their own eyes? What are you doing to tell God and the people you love that you truly, genuinely, selflessly love them? God is selfless love. Jesus proved it, and that is why we are here today. I have one more point before we close this morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. You know, leaving home is not an easy thing for me to do. But as you can see, the thing that has helped me most is comparing it with the sacrifice that Jesus made for me. Let's get to Hebrews 12:1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance." I want you to think about that stuff that hinders you, that hinders your walk with God, that entangles you from getting any further. You know you have it. You know it's there. So think about what it is. How are you going to get that away? How are you going to throw that off? You remember how? We don't have to worry about the how. You ask God to remove it and it's gone. The great thing about our God is that he takes care of us. And it says, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us." That's it, right there. The race is marked out for us. I told you don't need to pick your paths. You don't need to worry about the how. You don't need to mark out how you're going to get there, because God has already taken care of it. You will notice that when you are following God's plans, everything just starts working out. And it is crazy, but you definitely feel good about it. And so, I am not worrying about leaving home. Oh, I guess I have to finish up this verse, huh? Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You know, I'm not worrying, because I have a God that's taking care of the details. He's picked my roommate. He's picked my teachers. He's set everything up. He knows what I can't take, and he's worked to fix it. And it says that, consider him so you will not grow weary and lose heart. All we have to do is pick a destination, set our face, and run. And when it seems too hard, consider Him. Consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. I'm not going to lie. I'm scared to death about leaving home. I'm scared to death about what's going to happen to me in the next few weeks. But I'm not worrying, because I have a God who's taken care of the details. I am scared to death, but I am going, because that is where I feel called to go. And it is such a small sacrifice in comparison of what God did for me. So I'm going to keep on running this morning. I'm going to keep on running. And I say to you, keep on running. I don't care if you're 12. I don't care if you're 17. I don't care if you're 21. I don't care if you're 120. Keep running. Know that the race is already marked out for you. You have it easy. When it gets hard, consider Him. That's definitely what has gotten me through it. So I want you to think this Sabbath in prayer with your Savior, with the lover of your soul, and think, who do you want to be? What do you want out of this one life? Where do you want to end up? Why do you do the things that you do? And why do you want the things that you want? Remember that the how belongs to God, that all things work out for the good of those who love Him. And then I want you to think really hard. What are you sacrificing for those you love this morning? What are you sacrificing for Jesus? Would you give your life for Him? What are you sacrificing for your children and your spouse and your friends? How do they know that you really, really, genuinely, truly, selflessly love them? My friends, it's time for letting go. My parents are letting go of me. I'm letting go of my comfort zone and my life as I've always known it. And I say to you this morning, let go. Let God back in the driver's seat. It's time for letting go. So let go. Whatever it is you're holding on to, whatever it is that's keeping you from running, let go. Love God with all your heart. Because when you do that, you'll work according to His purpose. And when you work according to His purpose, all things work out for the good. It is time for letting go. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. I ask you for your prayers, and I give you mine as I embark on this new journey, on this new chapter, on this great adventure that God has put out before me. I'm sure I'll be coming home every now and then, and I'm sure I'll stop by to visit you all. You all have been very good to me. Y'all have been very good to me. I'm preparing for Southern. Y'all have been good to me. God has been good to me. And God has been good to us. Because God works things out. He works all things for the good of those that love Him and those that are the called according to His purpose. Let's pray. Father, what an amazing Sabbath you have given us. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Help us to look at our life today and understand where we're going and what we stand for. Lord, if we don't know what we stand for, then we don't stand for anything. Help us to question ourselves, our beliefs, and everything we do. Help us to figure out why we do the things that we do. Lord, help us to keep on running. Help us to let go. Lord, it's time for letting go. And so we surrender our lives to you this morning. We can take charge and we can worry about everything. But it's never going to bring us fulfillment. It's never going to make us happy, Lord. And so we just give it to you this morning. When times get tough, Lord, help us to look at the cross and help us to see what you did for us, because everything we do seems so small compared to what you did for us. Lord, you're an amazing God. I'm so happy we have a God worth serving this morning. I'm so happy that we have a God of love. Lord, be with us as we all go our separate ways. Direct our paths. Help us to love you so that we are the called according to your purpose. God, help us to let go. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.